Blog Talk Radio.
Why we follow it and why I made it a tenet of our faith. so that we understand, you know, why we use these verses. And so that when someone that is in the church who is from another faith, if they listen to the broadcast, then they'll understand why we use this. So I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, everybody in Blog Talk, everybody on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, whether it's in North America or South America. I want to take a look real quick and see if we have any new nations that have joined us the past couple of weeks. I hadn't checked. Looks like we are about the same. So we want to welcome each of those, each individual in here in all the countries that we are in, whether you're in North America, in South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, or in any of the communist bloc countries that are listening to this broadcast. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do our statement of faith. So if you're listening online or if you are listening on the Internet, if you are a man, we will want you to uncover your head. If you're a woman, we want you to cover your head as is directed in the Scripture. Our statement of faith. I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and Elohim is God, and of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, glory to your name. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise on today. We extol thee and adore thee, and we worship you, Father. And you alone will we worship. Not another will we bow down to, but you alone. Not another will we obey, but you, Father. For you are our Elohim. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. You are our everything, Father. And so we honor you on this your day as you have commanded. And we obey your voice. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah, for all that you do for us. For all that you provide, Father. We just thank you on today. For there is none like you. There is no other. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. As we go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our sins and repent of our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And Father, we are repenting from our, Father, we pray that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel. For this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this day, we ask and invite you to be the speaker, Father. Let it be your words that people hear. Let Brother Miles decrease and that you increase. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen. And amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize this because it is about us as a people. And so it just sounds better and makes more sense to me when I personalize. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of our enemies, of them that carried us away captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which thou hast built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. Forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the water up under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, as we are commanded to do in your feast days and in your holy days and in your Sabbath, and in your new moon, you shall blow the shofar. So we shall have the blowing of the shofar. And this our Sabbath.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in Luke. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. Man, Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says God ain't changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, hallowed and blessed. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
So in his time, the gospel wasn't for everyone. It was for those that the Most High had called, and it is the same today. The truth of the scriptures is not given to everyone. And so we have to understand that. So everybody's not going to be able to hear this word and believe it and understand it. They'll hear it. They'll come to a certain understanding, but they won't have the truth. It has to be given to you by the Most High. Verse 12. For whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So we got to understand, in order for you to understand this gospel and to become a disciple, a true disciple of Messiah, it's got to be given to you to understand it. You can go read all the scripture you want. You can go chasing. But you really got to put your heart and your mind on the Most High, on Messiah, on his kingdom. So we're going to read these things so you understand. What does it take to be a true disciple of the Most High? Okay, of Messiah. Because a lot of people don't really understand it and don't know it. And so they will read the scriptures and feel like they have an understanding, but don't realize that they're seeing stuff, but they don't really see what the scripture's saying. They're hearing stuff, but they don't really understand what is being said. So they're coming to their own understanding. The Most High has to give the understanding. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 33, or verse 33, because this is what you must first do as a disciple. But seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Righteousness is lawfulness. To do right in the eyes of God, to do right in the eyes of the Most High, means that you follow his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. That's what makes you right. And doing that makes you righteous, keeping his law. When we don't keep those things that he says is right, then we're doing what we think is right. And so he says, you must first seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But first, seek the kingdom and Elohim and his righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his kingdom and his righteousness. The first thing we got to do, the book of Matthew chapter 13, the book of Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44, because this is the value that we must put on the kingdom. You're speaking about your eternity. You're speaking about where you're going to end up at for the rest of eternity. It should have a value to you. And if it doesn't have a value to you, then you're not going to do what it says to do. You're not going to seek it out either. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, this is Messiah talking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides. And for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the kingdom of heaven must be so valuable to you that nothing that you have is more valuable than the kingdom. And you'd be willing to sell everything you have to obtain it. So it's going to be all that you have. You got to be willing to give your all. You got to seek the kingdom first and the Most High and his righteousness. And then the kingdom's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he sold all. Was willing to give his all to get into the kingdom, to achieve the kingdom. And each one of us have to ask ourselves, what wouldn't we give to get into the kingdom of the Most High? What do you have that you would say is more valuable than that? Because that's what's going to keep you from getting into the kingdom. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, and verse 2. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep the testimony, his testimony, and seek him with their whole heart. So you can't seek the Most High with a piece of you. You can't give him leftovers. He is the creator of the universe. He says, I want your whole heart. I want you to value my kingdom above everything. And you got to seek my kingdom first before you seek anything else. Before you seek fame, before you seek fortune, before you seek wealth, even before you seek a spouse, got to be the most valuable thing in your life, the most valuable person in your life. You want to be a good disciple? He gives us what's required. All we got to do is do it, hear it, and do it. So seek his kingdom first, number one. Value and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, not our own, first. Let him be the standard. Make the kingdom, too, the most valuable thing in your life, the most precious thing, above everything else. Number three, you got to seek it with your whole heart. You can't come and give him 90% or 95%. He says whole. Every place he's going to say all. People want to come and give the Most High leftovers. He don't have to take leftovers, and he won't. He will not take leftovers. So you want to get in a right relationship with him? You got to be willing to give him your whole heart. You got to seek him first. Let's go to Psalms, drop down to verse 34. Drop down to verse 34 in Psalms 119. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. When we have understanding, when we have true understanding, we understand that, hey, we have to keep his law. He's the one that determines what's right and what's wrong. Not man, not your mother, not your father, not the pastor. It is the Most High Elohim, the Most High God. He is the one that created everything. He is the one that makes the rules. So you got to see, if you have understanding, then you will learn his laws and you will keep serving with my whole heart. You're going to do it with your whole heart. Again, that's what he wants. Anything shy of that, you're going to fall short. And you don't want to fall short. You don't want to get to the doorstep of the kingdom and don't get to enter in because you were being hard-headed, stiff-necked. You wanted to do what you wanted to do. You didn't want to give the Most High what he said he wanted. And see, the church is making this mistake all the time. To think that they're serving an all-merciful God that loves everybody and is going to let everybody in and will forgive everybody for everything, and that's not the God of this Bible. He tells you exactly what he wants, and that's what he expects. Nothing less. And so we have to learn what it is that he expects and what he wants. And then we have to do that. Number one, I got to be the most valuable thing in your life. Number two, you got to be willing to give your all. Number three, you got to seek me with your whole heart. And you got to know my laws, and you got to keep them with your whole heart. Go to Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Now, this is when the people of the Most High return to him. This is how he says that we have to return to him. And I will give them a heart to know me. You got to know him. In order to know him, you got to seek him out with your whole heart. That I am Yah, and they shall be my people. And I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is all he wants. He wants you to give him your all. Don't make him second best in your life. Don't make him second choice or second priority. Got to be number one priority, period. Go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 24. Because, see, I know a lot of people read these verses, but the matter is they don't believe what they read. And they're believing a doctrine that has people to go into their pockets real easy and to give because their salvation doesn't require a conversion. But let's see what Messiah said. What Messiah, what's written of Messiah, what he said directly concerning being his disciple. And everybody who says that they are a quote-unquote Christian is supposed to be becoming his disciple. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He didn't say if you did that, it's going to make you a bad disciple. He didn't say that's going to make you, you know, something you got to improve on. He said you cannot be my disciple. If you love anyone more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. So we can't put anybody before Messiah. No, nothing and nobody. Or he said you can't be a follower of me. No, people want to follow Messiah and he's second, third, fourth on their list. Children come first. Wife come first. Husband come first. Business come first. And he's an afterthought. And we kind of afraid of offending him, but we still do it and then say, oh, he's got to forgive me. He says, no. If you love anybody more than you love me, if you come to me and you love anybody more than you love me, then you cannot be my disciple. 7. And whosoever does not bear his cross, whosoever does not do whatever it takes and come after me, cannot be my disciple. So you got to know that in order to do this, you got to be willing to give your all, your whole heart. It's got to be the most valuable thing in your life, or else you're not going to do this. And if you don't do it the way that he says it, he says you cannot be his. So we got a lot of people claiming to belong to Messiah, claiming to belong to the Most High, but don't do what he says to do. And when we read in John, as part of our reading, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are commandments. These are not suggestions. Our commandments. They're not suggested. So he's not saying follow man. He's saying follow him with your whole heart. Do what the Most High says with your whole heart. Make the kingdom the most valuable thing to you. Seek it first. Verse 28, because this is what I know that the churches are not teaching. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In other words, Messiah said, you must consider the cost it's going to take to follow him, to be his disciple. You must consider that it's going to take your all. Your whole heart. Can't nothing or nobody come before him. And if you can't do that, you can't be his disciple. So you have to consider the cost. Am I able to do this? Am I willing to do this? Because a lot of people ain't willing to do it. They want to get into the kingdom, but they don't want to do what he said to do. Oh, if I confess my sin, he is true and just to forgive me. So all I got to do is be baptized and confess my sin, and I'm in like Flint. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Got to do what he says to do. I want your all. And you can't value anyone or anything more than you value me. Not even your own life. Drop down to verse 33. Drop down to verse 33. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. Because the scriptures tell us everywhere that we are supposed to be coming like him. He is the example. He says, now you want to be like me? Then you got to give me your all. You got to love me above everybody else, even your own self. What I'm offering you has to be more valuable than anything that you have or anyone that else that you know has. Seek my righteousness, not your own. Don't establish your own righteousness. What you think is good, what you think is right, you got to go by what I say. You're not willing to do that, you're not willing to be his. But see, they don't discuss these verses with you. Because most people can't do this. So why am I going to tell you that? If I'm trying to keep you in that pew, keep you giving your tithes and your offers, I'm not going to tell you this. Because people, when they look at it and say, oh, it's going to take my all, they don't really understand what that means, but he tells you. And this is the standard that he's going to go by. Quickly review. Seek Yah and his kingdom first and his righteousness. Number two, the kingdom must be the most valuable thing in your life. Number three, you must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Number four, you cannot love anyone, even yourself, more than you love Messiah. Number five, you must consider the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost, the price? And number six, you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah, to live this life. The church is going about things telling people that they're saved, telling people that, you know, they are in like Flint. All you got to do is confess your sin. That's why he says many are called, but few are chosen, because only a few, only those that can understand are going to hear this and do it. That's why he said, to he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. It ain't given to everybody to hear this. It ain't given to everybody to understand. It ain't given to everybody to want to do it. But we all want to get into the kingdom of heaven. We don't want to end up in the lake of fire. But we don't want to do what he said do. And men know this. And those that are after the money, after controlling you, they know this, and they're not going to tell you this. Why? Because all they're concerned about is the here and now. But we got to be concerned about our eternity, because this life is short. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Somebody went to bed last night and didn't wake up. Not here today. So we got to want this more than we want anything else. Those are our foundations of discipleship. If you keep for you always, you cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Okay? Just do what Messiah said to do. Do what the Most High said to do, and you cannot go wrong. But if you go about to do what's right in your own eyes, trust me, you're going to fail miserably. You're going to fail miserably because you're doing what you want to do and not what he said to do. All right, for our precept for tonight, the children of Abraham. And I want everybody to go to Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3. Because, see, we have Israel saying that Israel is the seed of Abraham. And by the flesh, true. But this has nothing to do with the flesh. This has nothing to do with the flesh. So we're going to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, starting in verse 26. And we're going to come back and read some more of this. But this is our reference verse for this evening. Okay? For you are all the children of Elohim by faith, in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. We want to go over this because this is one of our tenets of our faith. Because, you know, being Hebrew Israelites and understanding who we are as a people, a lot of us believe just because we're Hebrew Israelites that we are automatically in like Flint. And the scriptures don't teach that because our forefathers were just as disobedient as they wanted to be. And when the Most High is speaking of Abraham and the seed, the promise to the seed, then we're gonna want to look at exactly what he's talking about. So that we understand, even so we have a clear understanding of this. To verse 1. The book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to move sort of through this because we need to get to Romans chapter 3 and we need to get to Romans chapter 6. We may not reach Romans chapter 6 on today. The book of Galatians chapter 3 starting in verse 1. Because I want us to understand this thing of salvation. I want us to understand what Messiah has actually done for us. I want us to understand that to understand the law and why you must keep the law. And when it says that you are not under the law, that you understand what that means. Because a lot of churches and organizations are teaching that the law doesn't apply to you. It doesn't apply to me. So Messiah came and died for your sins, for transgression of the law, the breaking of the law. He came and died for that, and then after he paid for it, you ain't up under it no more. And you don't have to keep none of it. So you can go back to breaking the law. Messiah paid the dues, everything that's due on it. It is foolishness. So let's see what the scriptures actually say concerning this. Because not being up under the law, you got to understand exactly what that means. Okay? And then we're going to see, because you're the seed of Abraham. If you're in Messiah, if you're truly in Messiah, then are you the seed of faithful Abraham? We're going to read a lot about faith, your belief, and your understanding, and what you act upon. And then we're going to read about Abraham, then we're going to look at what Abraham actually did. Okay? So starting in verse 1, Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. This only what I want to know about you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is what Paul asked him. Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, is it not too late? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, and they're talking about the Spirit of the Most High, and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed the Most High. Now we're going to read later what he believed. See, it wasn't just about him and Sarah and that child. It wasn't just about him believing that the Most High was going to give him and Sarah a child and that he would be a father of many nations. It wasn't just about that. And that's what they want to harp on. But we're going to look at what it was really about. because you're supposed to be the seed of Abraham if you are in Messiah. Even as Abraham believed Elohim, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Now know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They that are of faith. Now, you might think your faith is just what you believe. But what you believe is what you will do. You got to understand that. What you believe, your actions show what you actually believe, not what comes out of your mouth, what you say. Because you can say one thing and do another. But your faith will cause you to believe some things that you can't even see and act upon even that which you cannot see and prove. You believe. Your faith will let you do that. But if you don't believe it, if you don't have faith in it, you're not going to act. So we're going to look at Abraham and what he actually did. Because we got a lot of people who say we are not up under the law. And when you read this, you're going to believe some of that, hey, the law don't apply to me. The law of Moses does not apply to me. The statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High don't apply to me. Okay. That's a misunderstanding of the scripture. Verse 7. Let me read that again. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen are all the Gentiles, other nations, anybody that is not of Israel would be considered a heathen. And the scriptures foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, I see in thee shall I, wow, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So he promised Abraham this. In you, out of your seed, shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now you got to understand that when you might think that if you try to keep the law, you're cursed. It's when you don't keep the law that you're cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The Most High, when he came to Israel, he says, this is what I want you to do. And Israel said, all that you have said, we will do. Because if you break one commandment, one statute, one law, you are in transgression. So you might as well be in transgression of them all. You have sinned. So this is what this is actually meaning. You gotta do them all. And you can break the law ignorantly, meaning that you didn't know you were supposed to be doing that, or you didn't know you wasn't supposed to be doing that. And God says, I will forgive you. I will forgive you if you do it ignorantly. And I'll send somebody to you to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And the day that you learn that what you were doing is wrong, you repent of it. And you do what's right. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law. Justified, when we look up this word justified. Let me get that definition. I thought I would remember it off the top of my head. Give me 1 second. I'm going to get this because what you might think justified means in the scripture, we're in verse 11. I'm going to get this definition for justified, the Greek word that is used here. Dakahayo. Dakahayo in the Greek, and it is rendered to show or regard as just or innocent. So we can read this verse that no man is innocent by the law, because the law wasn't given to prove you innocent. The law was given to show you what is right and what is wrong. What is right and what is wrong. And then it gives you the penalty if you break it. And since all have sinned, all have broken the law. The law wasn't given to justify you, to make you innocent. The law was given to you to show you when you were in transgression. As long as you don't break it, you got no problem. You break it, you are no longer, what, innocent. But the law don't make you innocent. The law was given to you to show you when you become not innocent, when you become a transgressor. So no man is innocent by the law in the sight of the Most High. It is evident. Or the just, the innocent shall live by faith. The innocent. Innocent means you're not guilty. That means you have not transgressed. That means that you're not going around doing the things that by nature, you're not doing the things that cause you to break the laws of the Most High. And there's none of us that have done it. So he says, now you got to learn. You got to learn what you are supposed to do and not do. Okay, so the law was never designed to make somebody innocent. The law was given because of trespass. The law was given because man was sinful. His every thought was evil in the eyes of the Most High. So the Most High says, I need to give them some rules concerning their behavior because it's not acceptable to me. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Elohim is evident. The just, the innocent, shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, because think about it this way. If you just naturally did what was right and nobody had to tell you, if your nature was just naturally good, was naturally righteous, you wouldn't need a law. It would just be your way. So if somebody got to govern how you work, how you operate, how you behave, then it's not of faith. It's not of faith. It's not how you are. It's not what truly how you believe. You got to have something to control how you behave. So it's a man that does them shall live in them. Christ, or Mashiach, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is simply this. The wages of sin, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. The wages of sin is death. That is the curse of the law. You break the law, you receive a death sentence. That's the curse of it. It don't give you life. If you transgress the law, it brings death. If you keep the law, then you just barely hanging in there, because then you got to do those things that are righteous. You got to be selfless. You got to be loving and kind to your fellow man. You got to do the things that the Most High wants of us. So your behavior, the law controls your behavior and what he wants. So Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua HaMashiach, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise the Most High in the New Covenant said, going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So It was, his spirit wasn't given to everyone. It was only given to his prophet and his prophetess and the king. He says, now I'm going to do a new thing. If you will have faith and you believe and you will seek me with your whole heart, and I will become the most important individual in your life, and you repent of your sin, I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to make you become my child. I'm going to adopt you through my spirit by giving you my spirit. Okay? So that was the promise. And I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. Not so that you don't have to keep them. You do keep them. And it just becomes a natural thing to keep it. Because it's in your mind and in your heart to do it. And if you are doing what Messiah said, then you're doing it with your whole heart. You're doing it with your whole mind. You're putting all your energy into it. You have considered the cost. And you know what it means to come up short. So he says, I'm going to give you my spirit, and that's the promise. I'm going to give you eternal life. That's the promise. Okay? So Messiah came that we might receive, get back the promise of eternal life that we had from the beginning, that we lost in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, a contract. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls it or adds thereto. No man can cancel it or add thereto the contract. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seed, as in many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ, everybody in Christ, that's considered to be one seed. That's why you have to believe in Messiah. You have to be baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Spirit, to become part of that seed in him. And this I say, that the covenant or the contract that was confirmed before Elohim in Christ, the law. If the law was a contract. And if you don't keep the rules, the stipulations of the contract, it required your life. Now, if this was a mafia, we would understand that. But we never look at the Most High that way. The Most High is worse than the mafia. Most High says, hey, you're going to enter into a contract with me? You break that contract, it requires your life because it is sealed with life. It's sealed in blood. It's a blood contract. It's a blood covenant. First, it was with the blood of bulls and goats. Today, it's in the blood of Messiah, a man, sealed with his life. So if you break it, it requires your life. You forfeit your life. And even if you don't die right away, what he's talking about is your life in the world to come. You forfeit it. You go into the lake. So we got to understand. Now, when I'm about to read next, you would have to know a little bit of history, but we're not going to delve all into that. I'll give you an overview. Let me start in verse 17 again. For this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim in Christ, in Yeshua HaMashiach, the law, that was a covenant, that was a contract, which was 430 years after. The law came 430 years after the Most High made Abraham the promise, that in your seed shall many nations, shall the nations of the world be blessed. The law hadn't been given to the nation of Israel yet, because the nation of Israel didn't exist yet. But that doesn't mean that the law of the Most High didn't exist. So, you know, if you are in Abraham, if you are a seed of Abraham, if you are in Messiah, and then say you don't have to keep the law, you are so much wrong, it ain't even funny. It ain't even funny. It's man's way of doing what man wants to do, to continue doing what they're doing, but not do what the Most High has said to do. So it cannot be disannulled, that it should be make the promise of none effect. So the law didn't cancel out the promise that the Most High made to Abraham, that in your seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. That was the promise he's talking about here. The law came 430 years later when Moses took the children of Israel to Mount Sinai and they received the law. Without the promises that the Most High made to Abraham. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promised. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. Before he gave the nation of Israel the law, it wasn't that he didn't tell Abraham this promise is based upon you keeping the law. But Abraham was faithful. So, as I said, most people, when they're reading the Bible, they concentrate on that the Most High gave Abraham promise that he would have a son. That he would have a son through Sarah, and that he believed the Most High. And that's what they based all of their understanding on. That means that he believed the Most High, that he would give him a son. But the Most High told Abraham, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through your seed. Okay, and we're going to see what that means. We hear that it's through Messiah, through Christ, okay? Wherefore then, why then, or what does then service the law? What is the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression. The law was given because of the transgression of men. They weren't behaving right. They were doing what they wanted to do. And the Most High said, you know, that ain't right. And everybody don't know that it's not right. They're doing what they want to do. And their heart and in their mind, the only thing that they can think of doing is not good and right. It is wickedness. Who they can get with. How many women can they lay? How much money can they make? How many men can I take their money from them? Just evil thoughts in the eyes of the Most High. For us, it was natural. It's what we were taught to do. We didn't see nothing wrong in it. But the Most High says, uh-uh. That's not natural. That's not the way that I want you to think. And you need to bring that flesh under subjection. You need to bring your mind under subjection. Think on those things that are good, that are holy, that are right. But it wasn't man's nature to do that. So why was the law given? Because of transgression. Even when men didn't know about it, didn't mean that they weren't breaking it. And because it was so widespread, the Most High one time said, hey, I'm killing everything but 8 people. Starting over. That's how bad it was. I'm going to flood the earth out and I'm going to save only this one family. Because in this generation, he's the only one that I have found perfect before me. Everybody else, however many people that was, he killed. But no, he's not a God that will kill everybody. Yes, he will. Because I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. That's who I have mercy on. And if you don't obey me, then I won't have mercy on you. Wherefore then, what then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Till the seed, Messiah, his son to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. This was told to the angels to tell to men. This was told to prophets. It was told to spiritual angels to pass to men. There's a Messiah coming. And he's going to come your sin. And he's going to open the promise that the Most High gave to Abraham, that all the nations of the world would be blessed through his seed. Verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one. So usually, if you got a mediator, you got to have at least three parties. You got to have the person bringing the complaint or the charge. You got to have the person be in charge, and then you got to have the mediator in between. It says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Elohim is one. And what Messiah does is he mediates from that office between man and the Most High. But since he is God in the flesh, he's telling you that, but Elohim is one. Because the same individual that's mediating for you, he's also the Most High. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, that Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, was the Most High in flesh. He's not a separate being. He is the Most High himself in flesh. And he says, you would know me as the Son. But I'm a spirit. And I'm going to step into this earth in flesh. Show you how to live, that you can live a sinless life, because that's what I commanded you to do. Now, it would have been something else. The Most High came and lived in the flesh and wasn't able to not sin. He says, but I'm not asking you to do anything that I didn't do, and I'm not asking you to do anything that's not possible for you to do. But you got to do it with your whole heart. If you don't do it with your whole heart, if it's not the most important thing to you, you won't be able to do it. You will not be able to do it. So he tells us what's required. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to achieve it. Okay, let's keep going. So he's the mediator. And when we sin, what he did when he came and died on the tree, when he ascended back up into the heavens, if you know anything about the sanctuary, then he ascended into the heavens. He presented his own blood for the payment of sin, the sacrifice. And then he stepped into the outer court where he makes intercession for you and I when we sin. But he makes that intercession one time and one time only, for all of your willful sin and your ignorant sin. So the day that you came to him, that you understood when you came to him, and you confess your sin, that means that you said what you knew was wrong. That's the only way you can confess it. I know these things are wrong. And you confess them. He was true and just to forgive you, even those things that were willful. Because the Most High doesn't really forgive willful sin. Meaning things that you know are wrong and you choose to do it. In the Torah, he did not forgive that. You couldn't bring a sacrifice for that. Only what you did ignorantly, meaning that you didn't know that it was wrong, you could bring a sacrifice. And the priest could make atonement for you. And you would be forgiven. But if you willfully sinned, and it says it this way, if you, the soul that sins presumptuously, willfully, that soul's iniquity, their unrighteousness, shall remain upon them. They couldn't even bring a sacrifice and be forgiven. So then when Messiah came, it was to reconcile everyone back to God, everyone back to the Most High. He said, so your willful sin and your ignorant sin, you can bring it to Messiah and it shall be forgiven you. Whereas in the Torah, it was not forgiven. And you can do that with your willful sin one time. one time and one time only. So the churches are teaching people that, hey, they'll take the verse, if you confess your sin, he is true and just to forgive you your sin. Only with ignorant sin. Because when you come to him and confess, what we're about to get into, when you come to him and confess, you're supposed to stop all that stuff that you knew was wrong. You're supposed to die to that. That's no longer me. I don't no longer do those things. I no longer lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, commit adultery, dishonor God. I don't dishonor my parents. I don't sin, in other words. I don't do those things that God considers wrong. Everything that you knew, you confessed it, you were supposed to die to it. That old man is dead. He don't do that. Now, the Most High knew that you didn't know everything, so the things that you didn't know, when you find out that you were doing wrong, you can come and confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you. So that you can stay in the promise, okay? Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Elohim is one. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Is the law against the promises? Elohim forbid. No, the law is not against the promises. The law shows you when you're in transgression so that you can get right. So that you can stay in the promise. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, none of the laws give you life. All the laws show you how you die. You transgress this, you die. That's what the law does. You break this, this is a penalty. Don't break this and you're okay. Verily, righteousness should have been of the law. If the law could give you life, righteousness would have been of the law. But the Most High is looking for you to be righteous out of faith. In other words, I don't want to have to tell you right from wrong. Because you know when you're doing something, you know instinctively whether it was right or wrong. You know that you shouldn't have been doing that. You know that this wasn't right, but you chose to do it anyway. But the scripture has concluded all understand that the promise by faith of Yeshua HaMashiach might be given to them that believe. The scriptures have concluded that all men have sinned, and the Most High made it that way. That even your very conception was sin. The act of your conception was sin. So you got to understand, all men have sinned. So nobody can't come up and say, I'm not a sinner. Even your very conception was sin. That act. The fact that there was semen passed from a man to a woman, the Most High said, is an unclean act. And being unclean is sin. But the scripture has concluded, all understand that the promise by faith of Yeshua might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now, the law was given for what? Because of trespasses, because men were sinning. They were breaking the laws of God even when they didn't know it. So the Most High created a nation of priests. And said, this is what I consider to be right and wrong. But it's not that he hadn't told men before. They knew it. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher. The law was to teach you what is right and what's wrong. What's right and what's wrong in the eyes of the Most High. That's the purpose of the law. And let me go back here. Peaches. Sister LaGracia, you need to mute your phone again. All right, thank you. All right. Where are we at? Let's see. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our teacher, our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. Why did you need Messiah? Because you were a sinner. You were a transgressor of the law. And the Most High had always purposed that he would provide a Savior. And it would be himself. So it was all to bring us back to him. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, after you believe and understand what it is to be righteous, after you have been converted and you know what is right and what is wrong, not according to your own standard, but according to what the Most High says. This is what the law was to teach you. It was to teach us. But by faith. We don't discard the law, but we do righteousness by faith because it's just what we believe that we're to do. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, under a teacher. After you went to school and you learned the lessons in first grade and second grade and third grade, and you went all the way through high school and maybe some of us through college. Once you finished school, you didn't forget and throw away everything that you learned. You didn't say, oh, that's not applicable anymore. I don't need to know what 1 + 1 means anymore. I don't need to know that A plus B plus C equals D or A, B, C. I don't need to know that stuff anymore. You don't throw it away. That's what a lot of people think this verse means, that once come, you are no longer under the law. No, you are no longer in need of being taught. You should know. And you should do it out of faith in what Messiah has done for you. You should keep it by faith, not that you throw it away. Not that you're not under it anymore. You're no longer under the teacher. So once you graduate school, there ain't no teacher come to you every day and say, remember the Pythagorean theory? Remember the hypotenuse of a triangle is this? You're supposed to know it. You're supposed to know it. So you're not up under the law in that it needs to teach you. You're through righteousness now by faith, that you know it, that this is what the Most High requires. For you are all children of Elohim by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, into Mashiach, have put on Mashiach. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. One seed. We are all one in him. And he says, if you want to belong to me, you got to seek the kingdom first. I got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And you can't love nobody or anything more than you love me, not even your own life, to qualify for this. And if you be Christ, if you belong to Mashiach, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So Abraham believed, and it was accounted for him as righteousness and for faith, because he believed the Most High. But because he believed the Most High, he did something. He just didn't believe and then went about doing what he wanted to do. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 3. And about Abraham and his faith. And you require the same type of faith that Abraham had. You need to believe the Most High. You need to believe in Christ and the work that the Most High is doing, like Abraham believed, without doubting. And you need to act upon it. You got to have the same type of faith that he had so that you can receive the promise that was promised in Abraham. Now let's continue. Romans chapter 3. Now for a little bit. The book of Romans chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 3 starting in verse 1. And let me make sure that is exactly where I want to go. Because what we want to ask ourselves, we're in faith. We're supposed to believe by faith. Does our faith cancel the law? Does it make void the law? Does our faith make void the law? That's what we want to know. We want to answer that question. So let's go to Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole thing because I don't want you to miss context. What advantage do the Hebrew, or what profit is there of circumcision, the doctrine of circumcision, much every way? Said that what advantage does the Jew or the Hebrew have? Much. In every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of the Most High, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. For what if some did not believe? So what if some Hebrews didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Elohim without effect? Do we think that our actions can void out what the Most High wants to happen? That what he says is going to happen is going to happen or not going to happen because we didn't do what we were supposed to do because we didn't believe? Do we really think that that's going to have any effect on the Most High and him getting what he wants? None. Elohim forbid. Yea, let Elohim be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of Elohim, what shall we say? If our unrighteousness, our unlawfulness, commend the lawfulness of Elohim, what shall we say? Is Elohim unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Because the Most High tells us, I take vengeance. It is a bad thing to fall into my hands, and I'm after you. Who's going to deliver you? Who's going to save you if I'm after you? There's a saying out there, if God be for you, if he's for you, who can be against you? And that's a true saying. If you have the Most High Elohim on your side, can't nobody touch you. But if Elohim, if God be against you, who can be for you? Can't nobody save you from him. So because we're unrighteous, we can't put that unrighteousness on the Most High. But some people try to judge the Most High according to our standards. So we do something. We tell a lie trying to prop up the Most High. And we wonder why he still considers us a sinner. Tell you to lie for me. You lie because you wanted to lie. You try to puff me up to that person. I don't need to be puffed up to nobody. Elohim forbid, for then how shall Elohim judge the world? If he's unrighteous, how would he be able to judge the world? For if the truth of Elohim has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, hear what Paul is saying. If the truth of Elohim has grown through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Because he lied. And the Most High says, I don't do lies. So you're a sinner. So I told you to always tell the truth. Even if you're trying to lie to boost me up, to make me look good, you're a liar. And I'm going to judge you as a liar. And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some have affirmed, that we say. So Paul is saying, hey, why am I judged a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported. Somebody's going around saying stuff. And some are affirming that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. In other words, the more evil I do, the more good the Most High does. The more I sin, the more he blesses. The more he forgives me. It's not the way it works. Saying that he was saying. And that's what the church is actually saying today. It's just saying it in a different way. The more I sin, the more merciful God is. So let God have mercy. Let the Most High have mercy on me. And I'm a human being. I slip. I make mistakes. I sin. And the Most High is all merciful. So he's just going to keep forgiving me. It's a lie. And that's what Paul is saying. Let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just. He said their damnation is just for saying that. For accusing him and his group of saying that that's what they were saying. What then? Are we better than they? No. And know why? For we have before prove both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after Elohim. None that seeks after him. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You got people out there that curse out other people. All they got is something bitter to say. Talk about people behind their back, stab them in the back, talk about their friends, all this kind of stuff. Lie. Just lie when it's convenient. Lie to get somebody out of trouble. And the Most High says, I ain't never condoned that. That you should just lie because it's convenient. It's okay. You kept somebody out of trouble. No, you're a liar now. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. So these people are contrary types. Anybody who would do unrighteousness. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. No fear of him. Don't believe that he's going to get those that transgress, that sin. So if it's convenient for me to tell a lie, I'll tell a lie. But Elohim said, uh-uh. Don't do it. Don't even lie to puff me up. Don't lie to try to make me look good to somebody or to try to impress them, impress them with me. Don't lie to do it. I'm still going to see you as a sinner. I have said that sinning, lying is a sin. So even if you do it to try to make me bigger, make me more important, which I don't know how you could do that. I don't know how you can make him bigger, but you're trying to make him appear to be something large in somebody else's eyes who don't see him the right way. They don't lie to do it. So if I'm going to what? See you as a sinner. And I'm going to judge you as a sinner. You do it, then you don't really fear me. If you transgress my law willfully, you don't really fear me. You don't fear that I'm going to get you. You don't fear that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. There's no fear of me in you. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them which are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before Elohim. The law was given to show you right and wrong. And all the world has transgressed, so all the world is guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, we're still coming to what does this have to do with Abraham? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does. It teaches you what sin is. And the definition of sin by the scriptures is the transgression of the law. The transgression of the law. But now the righteousness of Elohim without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Elohim, which unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim. So the law condemns everyone. Not the doing of the law, but the breaking of the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So the breaking of the law, transgressing it, is sin. And all have transgressed and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Yeshua. By his great service, we all deserve death. Because we all have sin, and the wages of sin is death. But we get to come to Messiah, and we get to confess all of our sin. And by the grace of the Most High, he forgives us. Okay, you acknowledging who and what you are? You're acknowledging what you did. You are repenting of it and turning away from it. Then I will forgive you. That's my grace. And my grace is that I'm allowing this to happen until I choose not to allow. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment, a replacement through faith in his blood, through faith in Messiah's blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, the day that you come to Messiah, and confess your sins, all of your sins from the time you were born up until this time, are forgiven. Not your future sins. Your sins as of that date and past, all the way back to the day you were conceived. Forgiven, you have a clean slate. Through the forbearance of Elohim, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to forget what you did because you believed in what Messiah did. And you acted upon it. And you are converted. You have changed. You're no longer going to willfully sin. So you confess. And what you confess means you had to know. Can't confess something you don't know. So you knew these things were wrong. Or you learned that they were wrong. But now you know it and you confess it. And you say, I'm turning away from those things. Messiah, back to the day you were born, your slate was wiped clean. Now you start over. You start over. And so you're supposed to be dead to sin. To that sin at least. So if you were having sex outside of marriage, if you were a thief, if you were a liar, if you were a murderer, if you were covetous, if you didn't keep his law, which is transgression, whatever you didn't keep, and whatever you knew of, you were forgiven it. Whether you did it willfully and knowingly, or whether you did it ignorantly, you were forgiven when you came to Messiah. But now everything that you confess, you can't go back and do it again and say, oops, I slipped. Fail. Not knowingly, you can't do that. Okay? So you died. The scripture says you were to die to sin. So you were forgiven for your sins that are past. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believed in Yeshua. You believe in Messiah, I'm going to extend this grace to you. You get baptized in Messiah's name, I'm going to extend this grace to you, and all of your sins up until that point are forgiven, not your future sins that are past. Make sure you understand that. He says, verse 27, where is boasting then? Where is bragging then? It is excluded. By what law? Of work? No. But by the law of faith. Your boasting is excluded because you know you didn't do anything that could make this work. It's only what Messiah did. It's your faith in what Messiah did that makes this work. Awesome. That justifies it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deed of the law. Forget everything because the law just, what, condemned you? The law just showed you what was right and what's wrong. It didn't justify you. Now to get from under the curse of the law, you got to believe what Messiah did. You got to believe what the Most High said. That's your faith. Believing what Messiah said and that it gets you from under the curse of the law, under the sentence of the law. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, so of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Because see, this is what a lot of people believe. Well, I got faith. I'm no longer up under that law. Do we make void the law through our faith? Elohim forbid. Yeah, we established the law because we learned what was right and wrong. We learned what was a transgression of the law. We don't make the law void. We establish it by doing it through faith. I know that the scripture says that being a fornicator is wrong. I'm no longer going to fornicate because I don't want to make what Messiah did on the cross of none effect. I don't want to spit at his going to the cross and dying for me and me treating that like it was nothing. Like, oh, he just went there and it was no big deal. So we establish the law because we keep it by faith in what Messiah did. I got a clean record. I no longer have to sin. And if I sin, then I no longer am going to willfully sin. I'm not going to do something I know is wrong. But if I ignorantly sin, then I got an advocate. I got somebody that's going to advocate for me. Oh, they didn't know what they were doing. Now, if they come and confess that, I will forgive them. I'll let them bring that up under the blood. So does the faith like Abraham had, do you think that it makes void keeping the laws of the Most High? It does not. Your faith does not make void the law. And having the faith like Abraham did doesn't make void the law. So if you believe like faith like Abraham did and you don't doubt, you're not going to break the law. You're going to keep it. How do I know that? Let's go to Genesis. The book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 26. Look at my notes here. Give me 1 second. So the book of Genesis, chapter 26, and we're going to get verse 5. The book of Genesis, chapter 26 and verse 5. And I'm sorry, I got this sudden urge to use the bathroom, and I got to use it really bad. You got to excuse me for a minute. I'm going to play a song real quick. I'll be right back. I'm sorry, but I apologize. But
what if he never came? All the dirt I did.
I'm not proud of, but I'm so glad that he's willing to forgive me of my sin. Man, I'm so glad. Oh, I don't stand a chance if it's based on my goodness, and I don't stand a chance if it's all about me. So now I'm leaning and depending on the fact that he died for me. I'm so and I know it, but I'm so glad, yeah, that he had a change of plans in my future.
All right, I apologize. I'm back. I just couldn't hold that. We're going to Genesis chapter 26, the book of Genesis chapter 26, because we just read that our faith, the faith of Abraham, doesn't make void the law, even though the law was given 430 years after the Most High made the promise to Abraham. That's when the law was given and codified or made given to a nation. Does that mean that the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High he didn't give to men before that? Let's see what Abraham's true faith was about and what did he believe. Genesis chapter 26. Start in verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 5, but let's start in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, under Gerar. And Yah appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall show, which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn or visit or stay in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply by as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. For the same blessing that he gave to Abraham, he gave to Isaac. Now why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. He believed the Most High. He heard what the Most High said. He obeyed the voice of the Most High. The Most High said, get up out of your country and go and stop worshiping those false gods that your father is creating and keep my charge. He did what I said and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. The Most High taught Abraham his commandments, taught Abraham his statutes. He taught Abraham his law. And Abraham was faithful and obeyed. So if you are the seed of Abraham in Messiah with the same faith as Abraham, you have to obey the voice of the Most High. You have to do what he says to do. You have to keep his commandments. You have to keep his statutes. You have to keep his laws like faithful Abraham. It wasn't that just Abraham believed that, oh, the Most High said he's going to give Sarah a baby and he's going to make me able to give her a baby. Even after we are old and dried out, I don't produce sperm anymore and she don't produce eggs. She's no longer having a cycle. I'm no longer producing sperm. And the Most High said he made the promise that he would give us a child. Even though Sarah didn't totally believe, because Sarah said, hey, maybe the Most High is going to make this happen if I give you Hagar, my handmaiden, my slave, and you have children through her, and they'll be my children because I own her. So when it comes time for her to deliver, I will put her between my legs as she delivers, and it will be as though I'm delivering. Maybe that's how he's going to do it. But Abraham believed the Most High. But that's not all that he's talking about. Abraham believed the Most High when it came to his law. Abraham believed the Most High when it came to his statutes. Abraham believed the Most High when it came to his commandments. Abraham believed the Most High when he says, I will keep you and I will protect you. Abraham believed. And it was counted unto him as righteousness, as lawfulness. And he did it. He kept his law. He kept his commandments. He kept his statutes. Even when the Most High was going to require Abraham to kill his own son, his only begotten son, Abraham believed the Most High was going to have to raise him. You said that through this son, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So if I kill him, you got to raise him back up. He believed that they are not up under the law, but they believe that they are the seed of Abraham. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, because it says there is no such thing as Jew or Gentile in Christ. There is no such thing as male or female in Christ. Because spirits don't have a gender. Spirits don't really have a race. Because if you can believe this, you can believe the Most High, and if you will obey his voice and keep his commandments and keep his statutes and keep his law, then are you the seed of Abraham. Because you're going to be the seed of Christ. Because Christ, Messiah, did not break any law. He didn't sin. So you got to understand that when the church is saying, hey, we're up under the law and we're the seed of Abraham, they don't really know what they're saying. Can't say I'm up, not up under the law and I don't have to keep the law, and say I'm the seed of Abraham, when faithful Abraham kept the commandments, kept the statutes, kept the law, kept the judgment. See how that's an oxymoron? So let us bow our heads. Father, yeah. Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we want to be and have the faith of faithful Abraham. We believe in the work that Messiah did. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe that we were given a clean slate. That we should live forever if we have the faith of Abraham. Father, we know that our faith does not make void your law. Abraham's faith did not make void your laws or your statutes or your commandments because he kept them. He obeyed your voice. Father, help men and women and children in these last days to obey your law, to keep your statutes, commandments, just as faithful Abraham did, so that we can truly say that we are the seed of Abraham and that we are in Messiah, that we are in Christ. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, mainly for any new listeners. Any new listeners, understand this. Drop down to verse 26. Because remember, I told you that the Most High will forgive your ignorant sins. But he doesn't forgive willful sin. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, willfully means that you know that it's sin before you do it, and you choose to do it anyway. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Ain't no blood for that. Ain't no blood means ain't no forgiveness. Ain't no sacrifice means there's no forgiveness for willful sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. I want every new believer, because I know those that listen to me all the time know this, but all new hearers, those who have never heard this, you cannot willfully sin and go confess it and say that Messiah is true and just to forgive you after you've come into the knowledge of the truth. So after you knew that you were a sinner and you confessed, And the Most High forgave all of your willful and your ignorant sins that one time. You start off with a clean slate. After that, you are responsible for your sins. And so you are supposed to not willfully sin anymore. And he says, if you willfully sin after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice, no more blood for sin. Can't cover it. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Judgment is death by the lake of fire. That's fiery indignation. That's what the Most High says. You deserve something worse than death. Because you sit on what Messiah did. Let's read it. When you sin willfully, after that, you make yourself an adversary to the Most High. You make yourself an adversary to Messiah. You're his enemy. What? I went to the cross and died for you and shed my blood for you. And now you're going to willfully go out and do wrong? You're going to knowingly go out and do wrong? He said, there ain't no blood for that. 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy up under two or three witnesses. How much worse, how much sore punishment, suppose you or do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim, the Son of God? How much more worse punishment do you think you deserve if you go out and sin willfully after you've come into the knowledge of the truth? After you have said, Messiah died for my sin, now I'm just going to treat it like nothing, like he ain't did nothing. I'm going to go out and sin again, knowing that it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. He said, ain't no blood for that. And what worse punishment do you think you deserve? The church ain't telling people that. Telling you, hey, if you sin, you can confess your sin and he is true and just to forgive you your sin. Not if it's willful. Not if you know what you're doing wrong and you know the truth. Messiah came and died for my sin. Now you know the whole truth. If you willfully sin after you have come into the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There ain't no blood to put that up under. And he says, you deserve a worse punishment than death. What's worse than death? Let me resurrect you, give you eternal life, and then throw you in the lake of fire where you can't die, but you can feel that fire. That's a punishment worse than death. You burning and you on fire, but you can't burn up and you can't die. But feel that pain. That's how much more worse a punishment that you deserve. And that's what he's going to give everyone that does that. And I know just about every saint has done it. Because they're being taught wrong. They're being taught that, hey, if you sin, if you fail, if you fall, then all you got to do is come and confess it. And he is true and just to forgive you. But if you are of the seed of Abraham, then you're supposed to be keeping the law by faith, and your faith does not void out the law. Your faith does not make the law null and void. Doesn't make it where it doesn't apply. Matter of fact, your faith, as it said, is supposed to establish the law. Oh, now, I was a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer going to transgress. I'm going to obey. I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to keep his statutes. I'm going to keep his laws. Father, help us. Help each and every person. If they didn't know that, forgive them now, even now, Father, for coming up under the wrong teaching and the wrong understanding. And if they repent in their heart, Father, towards you, and they turn from their wicked ways, and they beg your forgiveness for spending on what Messiah did for them, Father, if they acknowledge it, forgive them even right now. Forgive them even right now. They deserve a punishment worse than death. Father, forgive them. For they were taught in error. And let them from this time forward walk in the faith of faithful Abraham and establish the law instead of trying to destroy the law, instead of trying to void it out. Let them understand that they will do righteousness, they will keep your laws, your statutes, your commandments, just as faithful Abraham did. Not again, and that they spit not on the work that Messiah did, that they don't count what he did going to the cross as and treat it as nothing. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray this. Forgive them even now, Father. And let each and every person walk upright, walk in the faith of Abraham, and obey your commandments and your statutes and your laws. That they don't put Messiah to shame and the work that he did. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to read Romans, the complete chapter of Romans chapter 6 on this evening. Read the book of Romans chapter 6, saying that you are not taken from under the law, but you are to establish the law, that you are to keep the law. And when it says that you are no longer under the law, when Messiah died for your sins, and you came to him and you were baptized in his name and you went down in the water, you came up, all of your sins from that point and past were forgiven. You had a clean slate and you were not up under the curses of the law. That didn't mean that you weren't supposed to keep the law. Because if that was the case, what we just read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, would be of non-effect, would be not applicable. There would be no way for you to sin if there was no law, because that's what the law was for, to show you your transgression, to show you what was right and wrong. And by your faith, having the same faith of Abraham, believing in what the Most High says and believing in the work that Messiah did, then you're now making a conscious decision that I'm no longer going to walk in sin. I'm no longer going to transgress. I'm no longer going to break the laws of the Most High. And if you need to learn what they are, then you need to get on your J-O-B and learn them so that you don't transgress. Now, I pray everybody have a blessed evening. I pray that the Most High, if you have been convicted in your heart, that it's righteous conviction, and that you pour yourself out to him and you let him know how sorry you are, even for being taught in error, that you should believe a lie. And that you let him know that you won't do it again. But read Romans chapter 6. And in the morning, I'll send out a message on what the lesson's going to be. I don't know yet. But if you be the seed of Abraham, if you're in Messiah, And if you're truly in Messiah, in Christ, then you're walking by faith. And you are keeping the laws. You're not transgressing the laws, the commandments of the Most High, willfully. And if you are, go before the Most High and ask His forgiveness. Tell Him you recognize that you deserve to go to the lake. To give you this one last chance. You won't transgress again. You understand the magnitude of that error. And you will walk by faith. And you will keep His law. And you will establish His laws in your life. They will govern you. They will lead you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can only show you what thus says Yah Elohim. The truth in His word as He has revealed it to me. Shalom, family. Have a happy Sabbath and be blessed.
Who are Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom.